This episode of the Iconic Podcast is brought to you by Iconic Clothing Company. Check out the shirts on their website, iconicclothingco.com, or you can go to the Instagram page, Iconic Clothing Co. We've been hyping up this Vince Young shirt that has been in the works for a very long time. And finally, Uncle Luke, it's happening. They're printed. They're on the way. They're coming to Como.
Fourth and five, the national championship on the line right here.
Fourth and five with the national championship
on the line. Vince Young, are you kidding me? Oh, no, it's going to be a great show. I cannot wait till that thing is in my hands. Haggerty did an incredible job once again.
Yeah,
awesome. As he always does. We just got a sneak peek.
Oh, boy.
At what he's got cooking up next.
I can 100% say that this is going to be my favorite drop, regardless whatever we do in the future.
This one's for the culture.
Yeah, this one hits home.
Yeah, this one.
And that's just about all we can say.
Yeah, we'll leave it there. It's for the culture, though. People definitely appreciate it. For this podcast, we went back to the MMA kind of like solo podcast route that we did about a month and a half ago. And in that last podcast, I picked Conor McGregor to beat Khabib. So we're hoping with this one, I can do a little bit better and provide maybe a little bit better insight for the people, for the Iconic family.
When you said McGregor over Khabib handedly, I was like, all right, for sure. I'll bet it. I'm in on Conor. I was rooting for Conor. And then I guess after the first round, I was like, oh, this is.
Conor still won the third round.
He did.
A lot of people kind of forget about that.
I mean, everything that happened in that fight.
Of course.
All the talk.
It just gets overshadowed. Yeah, exactly. The moment the fight ends, guys are flying out of the cage. They're sending like flying elbows from the, stage.
Russians are fleeing the octagon. It's ridiculous.
Russians and Irish alike going at each other. So we're going to hope that this podcast is a little bit better than the last one that we did. And I feel very, very good about a lot of things. I'm excited to introduce to you guys that are maybe some more novice MMA or boxing fans. I'm able to tie in Mizzou in this episode. So, without further ado, live from snowy downtown Columbia, Missouri, Midwest has opened up my eyes to this West Coast bias that everyone talked about when I was out in San Diego and LA. Teams get voted lower because people on the East Coast and in the Midwest aren't going to stay up to watch premier athletic events. And I don't think boxing is an exception, or boxing or fighting or whatever is an exception to that rule. We've had prominent fights in Vegas, in L.A., San Francisco. They want to do events in Hawaii eventually. But people aren't going to stay up, if you're from New York, and stay up and watch these super late fights. That's why it's a benefit to have fights at Madison Square Garden.
The Garden.
The Garden. And that's what happened this last weekend. Derek Lewis, a very worthy opponent, challenged Daniel Cormier, the double champ, Mr. 205, Mr. 265, and he went after his heavyweight title. Derek Lewis is coming off a monstrous come-from-behind win just about a month ago, and he took this fight on short notice. That's what Madison Square Garden means to the fighting world. If you get that chance, Daniel Cormier had a broken hand, and he rushed back. He hurried. He took this fight on short notice because fighting at Madison Square Garden is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. This is Daniel Cormier's second-to-last fight in his career. This will be his second-to-last fight that he fought this last weekend, and he had to do it. He had to take it on short notice. He fought at Madison Square Garden when he was a collegiate wrestler back in, like, 2003. And now, 15 years later, in 2018, he's winding down his career brilliantly, may I say. He probably is Fighter of the Year. Captured his second title, 3 finishes in a year. Won at 226, 230. He is the Fighter of the Year, and he's making the argument that he is the greatest of all time when it comes to mixed martial arts. This last weekend, Derek Lewis got tapped out by Daniel Cormier in the second round of the main event at 230. It was not really that much of a surprise. I had created some notes thinking that I was going to be able to talk about this fight before it happened, and we weren't able to squeeze it in. So I said, you know what, I'll just recap it. But I think it's interesting to look at some of the things that I wrote down. We knew endurance, wrestling, the clinch, that was all going to go to Daniel Cormier. We knew that. Derek Lewis' only chance in this fight was a knockout. That was his only chance at being able to compete with Daniel Cormier, was to knock him out. Something that Daniel Cormier's never really had happen to him. You know, he got rocked by the head kick from John Jones last year. But even then, he was able to recover a little bit, get away, scramble, and Jones ended up finishing Cormier with punches. But Cormier's never really been rocked like that. And Cormier said, you know, Derek Lewis is a very worthy opponent. I am not taking him lightly. But if the puncher's chance is the only chance that you have against me, you've got no chance. If the puncher's chance is the only thing that you have to stick with me, to compete with me, for your only chance to beat me in the ring is a puncher's chance, you've got no chance at all. That's not going to cut it. You've got to be able to do it all with him. You've got to be able to wrestle. You've got to be able to keep distance. That's his probably weakest attribute at heavyweight, is his stature.
You're talking about Cormier.
Cormier, right? He's 5'11". 5'11", 6'5", 10". Big boy now. He's a big boy, 250.
Would you say it's the reason why he's always struggled against John Bones?
It's a very big part of it. John Jones, I want to say, has an 84-inch reach.
Yeah.
And Cormier is at like 70. And it's put Cormier in a really tough spot. And actually, if you think about it, you would say, man, you've got the size disadvantage. You have the reach disadvantage. You're way older than John Jones. Really, Daniel Cormier is the one who should be testing positive for steroids, not John Jones. You're 10 years younger. You've got a longer reach. You have a longer body. You've never lost in the octagon, and he still cannot figure it out. John Jones, please. You ruined what was going to be the greatest MMA rivalry in my lifetime. John Jones ruined it. I want John Jones, Daniel Cormier to be what I talk about when I'm older to my kids, and it won't be that way.
Are they ever going to fight again or no?
I'm not going to say never, but I don't think so. The MMA world's crazy, but I don't think they're going to fight.
Crazy in what way?
Unpredictable. I mean, okay. John Jones has tested positive for cocaine and 2 steroid tests in the last 3 years. He's about to fight in December.
I thought you were talking about like matchups and everything. That's crazy.
Yeah,
like,
well, I guess a little bit in that sense. But if you're going to allow guys to return from 2 positive steroid tests and a cocaine test, and he is still fighting a year and a half later, you think you got some problems? There's an issue in that. There's a major, major problem with allowing guys to fight like that. It gives guys like Daniel Cormier no incentive to play by the rules. But Daniel Cormier has done everything as a champion. Inside the ring, outside the ring. There are rumors, Uncle Luke, that when Dana White retires, it will be Daniel Cormier who replaces him as head promoter and president of the UFC.
Why does Dana White have to retire? Why does he want to?
It's exhausting
for him.
Yeah,
especially
it's
after
late
like
hours. The scene that he's put in, he has to separate guys on stage. He's up at late hours. He finds himself at clubs because he goes where the business goes, right?
Plus, I mean, just from an outsider's perspective, you could tell, like middle of the Khabib McGregor fiasco.
Oh my God.
That happened. You could tell, like, it was already beginning to wear on Dana White. Just from somebody who doesn't watch this as closely as you may.
Sure.
You could just tell, like, he looked like an exhausted boss who's done enough to get to where he needs to be, and that maybe this is something that might put him over the edge.
Irritated, exhausted, frustrated. But it's also a little confusing, because what made Dana White and his company so successful was what Conor McGregor has done the last 4 years.
Bedlam.
Create chaos, madness. Whatever you could do to sell this thing, let's do it. You could scream in front of people, talk about their family. He threw a dolly onto a bus through a window. And just 6 months later, oh, yeah, they're going to fight again. Yeah, you know, that's going to happen. The circumstances that Dana White kind of has put himself in a little bit, I'm not putting the blame on him. But it's a tough situation for him.
I think he deserves, any leader deserves the credit and the blame at the same time. You take the punches and you roll with the successes as well. So, you know, I guess there's some give and take there for sure.
And now you have a company that has now two parts to it. The mixed martial arts. The sport. You know, who's the better man? And then you have the side, I'm going to beat this man to death in front of his family, in front of the 20,000 people in that arena. I'm going to make fun of him in every which way possible to sell this thing.
WWE style.
WWE style. How do we sell this fight? With no altercations, essentially. How do we sell this thing to as many people as possible who might not even know what they're watching? But how do you move forward now? You're left in a really tough predicament.
Definitely. I got a question for you, though.
Okay.
So you're talking about the entertainment side.
Yeah.
You know, you have the mixed martial arts side, the side that the diehards love, the, you know.
Yeah, under the underground traditionalists, the purists.
Exactly. And then you have this WWE side that definitely brings a fan base closer, like me, into it. For example, the Khabib McGregor deal I found awesome. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
And anybody who is probably a diehard was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
This is terrible.
I just want to watch the fight.
Yeah, this is terrible for the sport, and that, especially after the fight as well. Something I've noticed in the few fights that I've watched is that Brock Lesnar keeps getting brought into this. He keeps getting brought into this arena of mixed martial arts,
yeah,
and WWE and the mixed match, and he's such a massive dude. He's probably on like 50 different steroids still.
Yeah.
And I think, what was the first time that he challenged? Was it?
Well, this summer.
Was it Joe? Was it
this
was it
summer?
John Bones?
Cormier challenged.
It was
him.
Cormier. Okay.
And
so
a year
Cormier.
Ago, Jones challenged
exactly.
Lesnar.
So Johnny Bones challenged Lesnar. He brought him out, and like Lesnar was in the stands, right?
In against Cormier, yes.
And so now you challenged him. Is anyone going to fight Lesnar? Is like that a realistic option, or is that something that's just playing into the entertainment value of the of UFC?
Yeah, he's going to fight again. The money's just way, way too big on Luke.
Against who?
It'll be Cormier, I think.
You think it's Cormier's last fight?
I do. I think it is Cormier's final fight. He has the opportunity to do what every great athlete wants to do, and that is leave at the top of your game. He just had the greatest year a fighter could ever ask for. After grinding in the world of collegiate and amateur wrestling, he then moved on to MMA. Grinded in MMA over at Strikeforce. Was undefeated at Strikeforce, then came to the WWE. And because his teammate was a heavyweight in the UFC, he said, you know what, I'll make the weight cut. I'm going to fight at 205 because I don't want to mess with my boy's work at heavyweight. That's Cain Velasquez that we're talking about.
Okay.
And Cain Velasquez at one point beat up Brock Lesnar pretty good. Daniel Cormier now, after grinding through the 205 division with his only losses or no losses, depending how you look at it, against John Jones, in which both he tested positive for steroids. he earned the title at 205. And this year, he got the most important thing in the world of mixed martial arts, and that's the title of the baddest man on the planet, the heavyweight champ of the world. There is no greater title in all of mixed martial arts than the baddest man on the planet.
You don't even say mixed martial arts. You could just say in the fight game
in
general.
In the fight game in general, if you're the heavyweight champ, you're in a damn good place.
Here's another question for you that kind of plays off of my last question. We've seen it with Mayweather, and who's the guy he's fighting on New Year's Eve?
It's off.
It's off now?
The fight is off.
Where was I the last 48 hours?
So, and then that's why I love having someone like you here, right? Is the basic sports.
Who's
going to
record your podcast? Either way, you know.
Yeah, true. I don't know. That's a great fucking question. You leave in December. I don't know yet. We're figuring it out. The fight is off that Mayweather's fighting or was supposed to fight on December 30th. Mayweather claims that he was told it was going to be an exhibition match. It was just going to be kind of for fun to put on a little show for some people.
Because there's nothing else going on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And 2 days pass by and he's like, wait. Or this is what he says at least.
Okay.
He was thrown off and this kid starts talking trash like, oh, we're fighting. And Mayweather's like, whoa, I thought this was just going to be like a 9-round exhibition match just to put on a little show for some people.
The reason why I was going to ask this question was because we're beginning to see lines being blended in between MMA, WWE, and now boxing. Obviously, Conor going from MMA to boxing when he fought Mayweather. And now, you know, WWE guys wanting to get in the octagon or vice versa. Maybe like 10 years down the road, do you see not necessarily a league. I think a league is a little bit ambitious where it combines everything and there's different events going on. Which, I mean, definitely a possibility. You never know. But because the fight game, it's got such a small, finite amount of attention it can possibly grab.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it does grab that attention, it's the biggest thing in sports.
Mm-hmm.
Mayweather McGregor was massive.
Yeah.
UFC, Khabib and McGregor, massive. The WWE has a diehard base that will never go anywhere anytime soon. So do you foresee a future where all three of these leagues maybe blend in or kind of have some sort of tournament or something like that? You know, this is just an outsider asking, noticing some patterns within each sport.
It's already happening. What you're talking about, this transition to uniformity among the three of them. Dana White has said for years that he wants to be a boxing promoter. So he is currently in the works of finding boxers that he will promote through the UFC. Oscar De La Hoya, one of the premier boxing promoters right now, Golden Boy Promotions, well, they have the Chuck Liddell, Tito Ortiz third fight. It's their first ever MMA card. So you're already seeing the two kind of blend together, and then you'll probably eventually get some kickboxing matches or specified rule changes for certain fighters. Yeah, it's already happening. And another fun little rumor for Daniel Cormier is that when he fights Brock Lesnar and he finishes off, you know, riding off into the sunset as the two-division champ, maybe the greatest fighter of all time, he might have one more belt around him when he leaves. And they're thinking that he might be crowned WWE champ because the plan is for him to go be a commentator for the WWE when he retires.
Interesting.
Yeah, so he's going to do UFC. He'll do WWE, and then who knows from there. He is an incredibly brilliant mind. Really good speaker. Knows the game as well as anyone. Still coaches the youth. Still holds practices like 3-4 times a week for kids.
Still runs with the kids.
It's for the kids, okay? Yeah. That's what it's all about.
What's that line in Remember the Name, that song?
10% large.
No, that song. But there's like something about like a fighter with kids or something. I'll go find
it. Yeah, we'll have to play it then. Yeah. Runs with the kids that he signed. Ridiculous. Without even trying. How did they do it? So what you're asking, Uncle Luke, is this a good thing? Is the entertainment clouding the image of the purity of the sport? Is it a problem? Mm-hmm. No, it's not a problem at all. Because, in a sense, it's a little bit more than a sport. It's older than swimming. It's older than the Olympics. It's older than wrestling. The oldest form of sport is prize fighting.
Boxing.
Just prize fighting. Okay. There's no
back to the gladiators.
Phrase under anything.
Sure.
It's prize fighting. You go in there to make money, and you're willing to risk whatever it takes to do it. Mm. Doesn't matter. As long as there's a paycheck at the end of the tunnel.
And do you think the way our society is kind of, I guess, softened in a way, do you think that it'll be, the sport will be better for it? Or no? Because prize fighting, like, it's lost its lure a little bit. Not because maybe of their missteps or the, you know, whatever sport you want to talk about. But just society has kind of transitioned. Yeah. You see it in the NFL, like the contact.
Yesterday, Nikola Jokic got fined for saying no homo.
Right.
And you don't think that fighters are ever going to say no homo?
Way worse than that.
Or something a million times? Yes, they will.
Look, with the NBA, to fine them, they're setting a precedent. And I got no problem with that. What I meant by softening is that you see in contact sports in general are becoming far less dangerous, or they're making rules to make sure that you stay within the confines of
sure.
You know, at what's a hit, what's not a hit, what's a penalty in football.
Yeah.
Is prize fighting going to, in the future, suffer from this? Or is
there's
it just
no way.
No way.
There's no way, and if it ever were, it just goes underground. Until the end of time, you will have people who want to fight another person as long as people are willing to watch. And people are going to be willing to watch as long as there is someone willing to fight another person.
To be honest with you, the example that comes into my mind that kind of answers the question I just asked for myself is go back to high school. Whenever there was a fight going on in the hallway, whenever someone was thrown out, doesn't matter if it was boy versus boy, girl versus girl, it did not matter.
It doesn't matter.
The ring circles. There's you know, 10 feet radius between the front row seats and everybody else. And before the teachers can get to the middle of it, there's a little bit of fight going on. And you know what? Every single time, there's never been a fight in any high school where there weren't anybody watching and egging those two on.
It will happen until the end of time, my friend.
Okay.
As long as there are people willing to pay and watch, there will be people willing to punch each other in the face. And people want to watch a knockout. It's a gruesome bottom line, but it's the truth. People love the knockout. They love the knockout. It is so fun to see someone else risk it all for your entertainment. So that was Daniel Cormier's weekend and the year he's had and the near future for what he has in store. And beyond that, when he retires, what does he have planned after that? Vasiliy Lomachenko is one of my favorite boxers in the world. He fights again on December 9th against a guy named Jose Pedraza. And it's a guy I really don't know much about. When it comes to boxing, one of the reasons I love the sport is because of my dad and my grandpa. They were huge fans themselves. They taught me the sport. They taught me who to watch, what worked, what didn't, how to score a round, which, believe it or not, is a really hard thing to do these days.
Really difficult.
Crazy. But they taught me how to score a round, how to determine who won and who lost. I'm a huge fan of Vasiliy Lomachenko. I think he's as entertaining as pretty much anyone we've ever seen. The footwork, the speed, the accumulation of punches. There's a problem, though. And really, other than, you know, he fought Guillermo Rigondeaux last year. But Rigondeaux's smaller than him. It's never really not that much of a challenge for Vasiliy Lomachenko. We need to see him fight a Terrence Crawford, a Gervonta Davis, a Mikey Garcia. It doesn't look like any of that's going to happen anytime soon. This is the biggest criticism against boxing, is they take these big-time fights and they draw them out for 3 years. Oh my goodness, can we just get a fight that we want to see? This is what the UFC does it best. That's the biggest difference between the two promotions, between boxing and the way the UFC works. The UFC puts who they think are the best. It's the best versus the best. They give you what the fans want to see. Khabib McGregor, that's what the people wanted to see. Let's make it fucking happen. Boxing, well, we want to see Deontay Wilder and Anthony Joshua. I talked about this in the last MMA boxing podcast, The Fight Game. And, you know, it's going to be a great fight for Deontay Wilder in December against Tyson Fury. But people want to see Joshua. They want to see Joshua fight a freaking superstar. And they want to sell this thing over a time span of 2 years. There's negotiation difficulties. It's got to be in the UK. No, it's got to be in Vegas. Oh, let's meet somewhere in the middle and go to a neutral location. Oh, I'm not getting paid enough. Oh, he's getting paid too much. No, I want the gloves to be lighter. I want it to be at this weight class. I want it to be blah, blah, blah. I want the referees, blah, blah. How about we just get in the ring and figure out who's the better boxer? That's what people want to see. And that's what my dad has trepidations about, Vasiliy Lomachenko. And I'm like, Dad, how do you have these concerns? He's as good as anyone as I've seen. He doesn't get hit. He hits people a lot. That's the name of the game. My dad goes, I need to see him fight someone. I don't really care. So on December 9th, when Vasiliy Lomachenko steps in the ring, and I presume he will win once again, and I would presume, you know, barring something crazy, that he'll win in pretty dominant fashion. After that, though, I think 2019's the year for Vasiliy Lomachenko. You got to fight a big name. It's got to be one of the three. And I don't think Crawford or Garcia is going to happen. And Gervonta Davis is protected by Floyd Mayweather.
Do you know Lomachenko's record off the top of your head?
13-1. And the one loss is really controversial. There were some low blows from a guy. I think it was Salidas. Orlando Salidas was the guy he lost to. His amateur record's 395-2. 395-2 or something like that. He has fought everyone and anyone in his way until now. And, you know, he's promoted by Bob Arum, who does the top boxing, top ranked boxing for ESPN.
If you had to choose or select a guy that is next in line to kind of take over the Mayweather domination of boxing, is he the one? Is he the big name that people are eventually going to see? Or is boxing just kind of...
It won't be Lomachenko. He doesn't speak good enough English. I would say Canelo, but for the same reason, no. Unfortunately,
doesn't care to promote himself.
Yeah, Vasiliy doesn't care at all. He's from the Ukraine. He's been training since he was six. It's honestly a lot like Khabib. There are some major similarities between both trained by their dad for long periods of time. And now they're willing to fight anyone. They have very unique styles. They have perfected their art in a very unique way, very different than other people that you see. I think Anthony Joshua would be the guy to do it. He hasn't lost yet. He has the almighty undefeated record in boxing that is held on this pedestal, this prestigious pedestal. Oh, my God, he's undefeated. We have to see him lose. I mean, that's what Floyd Mayweather did for his entire career. It was, you know, I'm undefeated, right?
Who's going to beat me?
Yeah. Oh, you think this is the fight I lose? Yeah. Oh, that's adorable. That's so cute. You think I'm going to lose? And that's what they're doing with Joshua. That's why they want to hide him from Deontay Wilder a little bit. You know, we can have that fight in 2 years. So, you know, Deontay, I want to fight you. But let's do it in 2 years. Let's both earn a couple more titles. Let's both get a couple more wins under our belts, and then we can really sell that fight. Why waste it now? One of us is going to have to lose. Why waste it now? We got another 2 years of being undefeated kings. We're heavyweights. We're champs. Why waste it? So that's what they're doing. And it's a frustrating part of boxing. It makes the fights actually more fun just because the build-up is crazier and more intense and more slow. The suspense is through the roof for some of these fights. The last note that I had on Lomachenko in his last fight against Jorge Linares, he showed me something that I was really surprised about. You know, for a long time, I thought Lomachenko was really good at not getting hit. Well, in this fight, he did. Against Linares, he got hit.
I don't like guys who predicate themselves on not getting hit. I mean, no, I know that's a kind of an ignorant thing to say when it comes to boxing. Like, that's part of the way.
You want
to
see the knockout.
I just want to see. What's a fight that I really liked? The first Canelo GGG.
You liked a little bit?
I liked because it was just two guys that
did
were.
Did you
just,
watch the second one?
I didn't watch the second one.
Okay. So I would suggest to watch the second one.
Better than the first?
Yes. A lot of boxing experts, fans, whatever you want to call them, thought that in the first fight, Canelo fought like Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
It was
for points and
to win. It was to look good. I didn't get hit this fight.
Mm-hmm.
He would, you know, Triple G hits him. Canelo shakes it off. Hey, you didn't hit me. You didn't hurt me. I feel great.
Sure.
I'm doing the shrug. They kind of, you know, the shake off. That didn't do nothing.
Triple G should have won that fight.
Yeah. It seems that way. The more and more removed we are from the fight, that Triple D should have gotten the
especially
that
one. They gave Canelo the second one.
I thought Canelo won the second one. It would be cooler if Triple G had won the first, Canelo redeemed himself in the second, and then you get part three.
Yeah.
I would have appreciated that
more. That might be boxing's problem.
It's got some problems. You know, luckily for boxing, they will always have business. It doesn't matter. You can have problems, and it ain't no problem.
But from an outsider perspective, like Canelo, sure, but even he doesn't draw me.
Yeah.
Floyd draws me.
Because he speaks English. It helps.
Sure. Like
it helps.
I guess the language barrier helps, and like the self-promotion, yeah. But I like how much of a prick Floyd Mayweather is.
Yeah.
And I enjoy watching him fight. I dislike everything he does outside of the
ring. Sure.
As most people, you know, most sane people would say. So, but like, I mean, money team, like everything he built upon himself. Like, I like watching that man fight. I like how quick he is. How
Cinco de Mayo
he picks his
2004 takes on Oscar De La Hoya.
Yeah, my dad bought that fight,
and he comes out.
It was probably one of the first fights I've ever watched
in a sombrero and Mexican colored gear.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, you want to find a way to get an entire nation of people to fucking hate you? Oh, my God.
This is kind of unrelated, but do you know that ESPN Plus has like all these fights now? Like,
yeah.
They give them to you?
Yeah, yeah.
So I've watched a lot of them.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it's actually really cool.
Wait till next year. 2019 is going to be a crazy year for the fight game. ESPN just got the rights to
UFC.
The UFC. So now all of the pre-fight shows, all the post-fight shows, those will all happen on ESPN, and they have one of my favorite commentators, Ariel Helwani and Chael Sonnen. Which, by the way, I got to show you some clips of Chael Sonnen. This guy is hilarious. He's literally a mouth. He's a really good wrestler, a tough dude with a mouth.
What about the homie Joe Rogan? Is he going to cross over too? Or what's
so he'll stay. Okay. He'll stay with the UFC. He won't work with ESPN that much. He won't. He doesn't work with Fox now. Really, Joe Rogan does 8 events a year.
Mm.
So that's all. He'll just do the pay-per-view stuff once again. So that won't change. But ESPN's got a nice little gig here in the next year, especially looks like McGregor is going to stay active through the next year and a half, which is big for the UFC.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't know that after the Khabib loss.
You didn't know that after the Mayweather fight.
Didn't know that, yeah. The moment you get $100 million deposited into your bank, shit changes.
He had a kid. He got married.
Yeah, but oh. I don't know if I want to go train today.
Right.
Kind of want to just lay by the pool.
I've got this 50-foot yacht waiting outside.
What do you say we take the boat and the kid out? Let's just go enjoy the day. Yeah, it gets a lot harder to fight once that happens. You know what I mean?
I for me, all motivation would be lost.
So, Lomachenko fights December 9th. It's kind of against a nobody. I hope it's a good fight. I'll be watching. But 2019 has to be the year. He's got to fight a big name. Has to happen. Or he's going to lose people like my dad. And the moment you lose people like
the purists.
Pops, come on.
You lose the purists.
Yeah, yeah. That's when you run into some serious trouble. So I want to tie Mizzou into this podcast.
Okay.
And it's actually a big, big storyline in the MMA world. Not UFC world, the MMA world. The UFC is just a corporation in MMA. Like Band-Aid is a bandage. Band-Aid is the brand name. Kleenex is a tissue. But people still call it, oh, he passed me the Kleenex.
You really thought that went through, didn't
Let's
you?
Watch the UFC fight tonight. Well, no, no, it's an MMA fight. But
sponsored
people call
UFC.
It UFC. It's just through the UFC's corporation. So it's a brand name. And for the first time ever, you had two MMA brands trade fighters. Yes.
You can do that?
For the first, I guess so now. For the first time ever it happened, last week. Demetrius Johnson, the 125-pound flyweight UFC champion, was traded to a company called One Championship, which is based out of Japan, for a kid named Funky Ben Askren.
Stop. That's his name.
His name's Ben Askren.
Okay, Funky Ben.
He's got a curly afro, and he calls himself Funky. It's funky time. It's the funky era. Ben Askren is a 170-pound fighter. He's a wrestler from Mizzou, won the national championship, D1 wrestling championship for Mizzou in 2007. He is teammates and good buddies with former Mizzou Tiger wrestler Tyron Woodley. They trained together up in Milwaukee at Rufus Sport Gym, a gym I got to visit in one of my trips to Milwaukee. It was really cool to see where some of the best in the world train. Ben Askren is undefeated. Ben Askren and Dana White do not get along.
Because
Ben Askren, it could be a little bit of a prick.
I've kind of assumed that every fighter has got.
You got to look out for your own neck. You know what I mean. If he doesn't do that, he might not get paid in a certain way. For a long time, one of the problems that fighters had with the UFC was that they're sponsored by Reebok. That meant that they couldn't get their own sponsorships. They can't have stuff on their shorts. There was no more. They had to wear Reebok jackets, Reebok shorts, Reebok shoes, socks.
They couldn't get sponsorships with other clothing.
Yeah.
Brands.
So these people had really. I mean, this was their income. This is how they pay their trainers. This is how they feed their families, is through these sponsorships. It's very rarely is it the prize fighting money that, you know what I mean, pays their bills. Once you get to the 1% of the 1%.
Or you get to see that prize fighting money, or get the chance to deposit that into your bank account.
So Ben Askren fought in Bellator. He fought in One Championship. He fought here. He fought there. He fought in Timbuktu. But no matter where he's lost, or no matter where he's fought, he has not lost. So he's a wrestler. He's a lot like Khabib. You know, he closes the distance. He gets a hold of your leg. He takes you down and pummels you until you leave yourself open for a submission. The ref stops the fight, or you tap to punches. And those are your three options. You're not getting back up on your feet. It's a little boring. Like Khabib's been criticized in the past for his style. A lot of people don't like wrestlers. They lay on top of you and just try and draw out the rounds. But it's effective. And it's especially effective in big moments and big fights that are sometimes bigger than the fighters themselves. It was announced this week that Ben Askren's first UFC fight would be against UFC veteran Robbie Lawler. Robbie Lawler is a San Diego guy. A lot of people know who Robbie Lawler is, known for wars and battles. Also a collegiate wrestler. It will be interesting to see. Robbie Lawler is a really hard guy to take down. And I'm excited to see what Ben Askren can kind of do in this UFC. He's 32 years old. You don't fight for much longer after that. It's a young man's game. Doesn't have a long time left. But he's going to go on about a 5-fight run here. What he can do in the 5 fights left to be undetermined. But he's talked about them all. Robbie Lawler, you're going to be up first. Darren Till, you're way too cocky. Khabib, I'm better than you at what you do best. This is what he's saying about everyone.
Who?
Ben Askren.
Okay, Ben Askren.
Ben Askren's calling out everyone.
Funky Ben.
Funky Ben Askren is calling out everyone, saying, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. I don't care what this is. I don't care what that is. Colby Covington, I will knock your socks off. The lights are going to go out. You have no business being in this ring with me. It will be cool. A lot of Mizzou people don't know about Ben Askren. But this could be a really, really cool opportunity for Mizzou fans to kind of, you know, stand behind someone.
Latch on like they did with Tyron Woodley? Yeah.
Yeah, like they did with Woodley over the last 3 years.
Honestly, the moment, the first time someone told me, it might have been you or whoever I was watching with, it was the first Connor Diaz fight. It was at the house, too. And I think Woodley fought. Maybe the second
fought
one.
It was at the second. It was the second one. He fought at 202, and it was the.
We're talking about Woodley.
Woodley fought Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, I believe, at 205 at Madison Square Garden.
Right.
When he beat Connor beat Eddie Alvarez.
That's
there
okay.
You go.
So that's the moment I'm thinking of. And then someone told me, I was like, oh,
Mizzou.
Woodley's from Mizzou. I was like, all right, let's go.
Yeah.
Like, you can just latch onto him pretty quickly.
Funny story about that fight. I was watching it, and actually, no, it might have been the Robbie Lawler fight. It was the first time that Woodley won the title. He hasn't lost it since. He's a remarkable athlete. They're showing the fight. He's walking out, and there are two people with Mizzou shirts in the front row, yellow. Like, you don't miss the
– right.
Come on, it's yellow, M-I-Z. I'm looking. Oh, my God. That kid lives in my dorm. I'm like, what? Like, it was, and I had not seen this kid. I've not seen this kid since. But I remember, like, a kid that I would bump into just here or there at the dining hall in the hallways of the dorm. And he's sitting front row. I'm like, I know that's a kid. I don't miss. You're not messing this up. So it's kind of cool to see, though, Mizzou latch. I mean, this kid flew out from Como to Vegas to see this fight. Pretty freaking cool. I think this is another kid that people can really fall in love with, is Ben Askren. He's a really, really cool guy.
I love a guy who talks good shit.
Oh, he talks great shit. It's good, too. It's really, really good. Okay, I have two more notes, and then we'll wrap up, okay?
Sure.
The Tyson Fury fight I've already previewed, okay? But he went on Joe Rogan's podcast 2 weeks ago, and there was something that is worth sharing from it. Tyson Fury, this is his second fight in, like, 5 years. He took a little bit of a layoff, put on a lot of weight. And in this podcast, he talked about mental health. He suffers from depression, anxiety, all of it. He said he was feeling great. Life was going really well until he won the title. The moment he won the heavyweight title, he said things
unraveled.
Yeah. Everything didn't feel the same. He didn't want to train. He didn't want to fight. He didn't care about his family. He said he didn't care about himself. There was a really, really scary story where he talks about driving 125 on the freeway with pretty much just no plans of stopping. And you know what? This is just where I'm going to end. And I think it was really cool of him, not even fight related, but to knock out the stigma, to break the stigma of mental illness. Mental health, especially in the fight game, man. I mean, listen.
You're fighting a lot of demons, not just the ones you're fighting against.
And the fight game historically does not pay a lot of respect to mental health. And now we know a lot more about brain and CT and all that. So we're getting better and better. But in terms of awareness, this is the biggest movement we've seen among a fighter. And it kind of gives me a little bit of reason, or I'm rooting for Tyson Fury. I like Deontay Wilder. I think he's a really good matchup for Anthony Joshua. But what Tyson Fury's talked about, and he references it quite a bit, for him to be in a good mental state means a lot more than the fight he has against Deontay Wilder. So it was really, really cool to see, and something that I did want to mention on the pod. Last but not least, so Canelo's training out of San Diego. He has been for a long time. His training staff's there. His training staff just brought on this new kid, 19-year-old, up-and-coming superstar. He was the prospect of the year for 2017. His name's Ryan Garcia. And it's a guy that you might come across, Uncle Luke, because he's the social media king. He posts cool videos of him training. He does this, he does that. He's got a good smile. He's like a really good-looking kid. Talks nice. Really fast.
Has the mojo.
Everything, dude. And boxing loves him. Oh, my God. The promoters
He's
are like.
He's a boxer, right?
Yeah. Okay. The promoters are like, oh, please, just get to 25 years old and be undefeated. Oh, my God. Right. Please. Because what they could do with this kid is unbelievable. And then he just started training with Canelo's team. He's about a week into practice over at the new gym. He looks sharp. It's going to benefit him.
What, you got guys lately in the gym telling you this shit or what's
Come
going on.
On
here?
The stuff that they're having him work on.
Okay.
So we knew the speed was there, but his head movement's really bad. He keeps his head in a – it's a little more advanced, but, like, he keeps it in a plane. He keeps it in a straight plane, and it leaves it very susceptible. You could get caught with a big shot. Sure. You know, he hasn't fought anyone that's been good enough to expose it.
He will, though.
He will, eventually. You know, Gervonta Davis is another name. This Gervonta Davis guy is Floyd Mayweather's prodigy.
Yeah, you said
at lightweight, a lighter weight. But Ryan Garcia training with Canelo's team is really, really interesting. It's a subtle move that, you know, a casual fan wouldn't hear about, but could be a big deal. So I wanted to mention more Ryan Garcia just for your sake, because I want you to follow him on Twitter and Instagram and see what you think.
I will do that
about the videos that he posts.
For sure.
But yeah, that's all I got in the MMA podcast numero dos.
Who you got? Who you got? Adonis Creed or
Victor Drago?
On Thanksgiving.
So did we – okay, you have to remind me. Did we talk about the weight difference between the two?
No, we've just only talked about, like, storylines and what we thought. I could go back to it in the
So
archives.
Yesterday, MGM Pictures they do, like, one-minute videos.
They
like
did, like, a three-minute, like, snapshot.
So they did a one-minute video yesterday, and it's called, like, Introducing Victor Drago.
Literally perfect.
So good. And they're showing him. And it's, you know, son of Ivan Drago. Shows, like, the city where he's from. And then it goes 6'4". And then it shows his reach. I'm like, whoa. This guy's big.
Massive.
This guy's really, really big. Then it shows his weight. 245.
Yeah.
I think in this storyline for Creed 2, he's going to be challenged by a heavyweight. And he's going to have no choice but to say yes because this man's dad killed his dad.
I think in one of the trailers it was, this man killed my pop. Or,
yeah.
It was like, this man's father killed my pop.
Yeah.
This means something.
This means something. He...
God, it's such
a part of the storyline, I think, will be that he's fighting a man 60 pounds heavier than himself.
Do we see Adonis pull one out this time around?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It happens. You don't go back-to-back movies without getting a dub.
Yeah, Rocky didn't go back-to-back.
At least
losses.
In the main event, you know.
Sure.
Because I think he's going to lose the title.
Or maybe we fast forward.
Sure,
you know,
5 years,
and
three years,
and it's
whatever.
Like, well, he gets married, I think, to the...
Tessa Thompson.
Yeah. And they might have a child on the way.
Yeah, which
like that.
It looks that way.
So it looks like we've progressed a little bit into the future, which is fine. And maybe Adonis has fought.
I think they might open up with him fighting in a huge fight, maybe with the title even in his corner. And he's going to lose it.
And then he's got to get it back.
Yeah, and then he's going to.
I think I don't know if you saw like the extended clip, but it was of Drago. Everything. This is how every Creed movie is just going to start. Drago's sitting in Rocky's restaurant.
Oh, it looks it's so beautiful.
And like the his like hostess comes up to Rocky and's like,
"There's a man waiting,
Mr. Balboa. There's a man who insisted he be sitting sitting here waiting for you for the past hour or something." And Rocky walks up. He's like, "Who is it?"
And
it's fucking it's fucking Drago.
Oh my god! No, it looks
Thanksgiving cannot come soon enough.
Yeah, I'll be watching that one with Sleater for sure.
Oh yeah,
you can believe that.
For sure.
Yeah, Sleater's gonna be putting on his Air Force Ones or something. He'll want to go to that. He'll want to go to that one really bad.
Sick, Sleater. You're living in 2004 still.
That was a good question though at the end because you're like, who you got? I'm like, oh, I wonder what fight he's gonna ask about. And you go, Adonis Creed.
The only one that matters right now.
Adonis Creed, Donnie. Oh, Shea Serrano got a podcast.
Villains.
Villains. Oh, I'm so excited. I had to tell you.
It's going
to
be good.
Just on air.
Oh, yeah.
So the plan is from here on out, we record this one tonight. It's a Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Plans to post this Monday.
Monday, the
November 12th.
Yeah, the 12th.
Okay. Next week, we record again.
Yeah. We'll probably record twice.
Twice. One to post towards the end, right before we leave for Thanksgiving break.
Yeah. Coming some of the topics we've come across, like maybe a month in review or month of
NBA.
Just what we see, what we've noticed. Because we haven't talked about it a lot.
No.
Ever since we previewed it and then had Alec on and took a week off and now we're here. And so we'll post that probably early Thanksgiving break week. Or maybe before we leave. Maybe, you know what, we'll probably get it out before people go head back home. Just to get to allow people to travel. Listen to us.
But we got some content in store.
Content in store, some sick shirts on the way.
Shirts, gear, all of it.
Maybe some a little video aspect for sure.
Yeah, that is something we discussed.
Coming in the future. And then we come back from break and there's 3 weeks left and times are changing.
Yeah, they are. But we're ready to roll. We're ready to roll. Really fun episode. I love this. This is
oh, I know
me,
you can. Yeah.
This is as fun as it gets.
Sure.
I love talking fight game, and especially if I can introduce it to people.
Right.
That means more to me because I'm not in the fight game if my dad and grandpa don't introduce me.
Right, and I don't follow any of this unless you don't introduce
unless
me.
I explain
that's,
it to
that's
you.
Why we have this dynamic the way it's set up. So it works, and it works really well.
So with that said. Usually we end it with let's go home.
No need, though.
But no need. I don't think
I think we're
one.
Just going to do it with a bell.
Down goes Frazier.
Down goes Frazier.
Down goes Frazier.
Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.